Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
How do I sound now? Sound okay?
Would you ask Pop that question?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show,
Monday through
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Okay, here we go.
It is another edition of Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldrich here in D.C. in playoff barren D.C. with nothing going on. And our guest, John. John knows about it until recently. Was a charter member as well of the non-playoff team, Minnesota Timberwolves, but that's all changed now.
Hey, man, I spent 2 years in the wasteland.
Shut up.
Desert,
just shut up.
Exile.
Shut up.
I always just thought that the NBA season was over in April. And I had spring and summer off. It was a beautiful thing. Now I got to work.
Exactly. All right, so most important question, John, where did you eat last night, and what was it? What was the verdict on where you ate last night?
So there's a place called Arnold's Barbecue.
Okay.
That is kind of right over by the ballpark in Memphis.
Gotcha.
And it's kind of off of the beaten path, as you got to go down this alley to get there.
Yeah.
Very cool little spot, great brisket.
All right.
Good mac and cheese, and yeah, we did it up proper.
What's their team called? Is it the Sounds? Do I have that right?
I think it is the Redbirds or something. I think it's a Cardinals affiliate.
Okay.
So,
okay.
I'm not sure.
It's a beautiful ballpark. It's beautiful.
It's great. Yeah, really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So, is Blue City
still there?
Blue City's still here. Yeah. Yep. I haven't stopped there. I'll be back for game five, maybe, if the Wolves don't sweep. So,
all right. That's so the equally important question is, if your Wolves knock the Grizzlies out, you're going to be angering people who wanted to come to Memphis for the second round and get some barbecue. So you have to give us spots in Minneapolis we can come to for the second round.
We got you, because sneakily Minneapolis is a great food town.
Hey,
so you come
is.
On in, we'll get you there.
Okay.
Bet. A lot of great places.
Yep.
Low key. It's a really elite place to go.
No, I will say this, and John, you know this, and I'm sure Marcus, you've experienced this as well. Back in the day, when the Grizzlies were really quite good with the KG teams, Minneapolis is one of the most beautiful cities in the world in the spring. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know at all. We always got the winter trip. It was always Minnesota, Chicago, Indiana, Detroit.
I've always said if the Wolves could have some playoffs and they have some playoff runs, they might have a little better time recruiting people who come to play,
because
you come here and it is really nice.
You
sit in a patio somewhere.
Yeah.
Walk around. It's absolutely a good time. You know, that little 6 month winter we have.
Yeah.
You know, that's a little something. But once we get past that, we're good.
KG,
I actually liked it though.
Oh, go ahead, Mark.
I liked it. As a guy from Cali, you don't get to see it that much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I liked it like the first day.
You know?
But here's why I really like Minnesota, because in Minneapolis downtown, they got the skywalks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you wanted to stay out of it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. You don't have to.
That's right. That's
mm-hmm.
right. I used to love coming there in January, and KG would always say, "So what brings you up to cold soda, D.A.?" <You know?
laughs> Yeah, that's a badge of honor. You make it up there that you get attention. Like, okay, you're real. You're real about this.
I loved it up there. This is great, man. This is by far my favorite first round series is Minnesota Memphis. It's just everything you could possibly want if you're trying to showcase the depth of the NBA and the quality of the talent in the NBA, and getting some shine to guys and teams that don't normally get them. You know, I just can't imagine you could have a more fun series than this one. Guys talking shit and just making ridiculous shots. And game one was a lot of fun. And, you know, and I think it's going to be like six or seven games of that. So, I mean, am I off base on that, or what do you think?
Yeah, no, I thought right away, even going into this series, even before the Wolves got game one, I thought this was going to be at least six games in the series and probably seven. It really is like the Spider-Man meme. Like, these are two young teams. They wear their hearts on their sleeves. They like to talk trash. They're kind of like the little brothers who have finally grown up and are big enough to swing with big bro now, and are going to let you know about it. And you know, they kind of can go at each other in different ways. It's like, you know, the Grizzlies have their kind of high flying ground and pound thing. And then you have Edwards and, you know, step back in them to death. And so it's highly entertaining, and you don't ever have to wonder what most of these guys are thinking. Like, they will let you know it right away. And so from that aspect of it, it's high drama. It's just a ton of fun. And game one was a good glimpse of that, for sure.
This is Minnesota is Memphis from last year.
Yes.
Right. Like, this exactly. is just where you're looking. And they kind of sneak up on you, like, man. And then you see them, like, you get to finally put the spotlight on them in the play-in, where it was like, hey, yo, this Memphis team is coming. Like, you feel the same way about Minnesota, especially if you haven't been paying attention. Because if you've been watching the Timberwolves, first off, they're one of the top league pass teams out.
No question.
Anthony Edwards is worth the price of admission by himself. But just the way they play and how crazy it is, you could tell in Minneapolis, like, they feel something's coming. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a great league pass team to watch. But if you've been watching since January, nobody wanted to see this team. You don't want to play the Timberwolves, right? Like, you don't want to play them. And the crazy part about the Timberwolves, I think, you know, defensively is the question. But offensively, they have counters. Like, it could be a Cat game. It could be an Anthony Edwards game. You know who quietly played a great game and it wasn't even his usual type of game? Was D'Angelo Russell. Yep. Mm-hmm. He was under control. He moved the ball. You know he's got a 30 burger in him, right?
Yep, like, exactly.
That offensive repertoire is pretty top shelf, ain't it? Like, the way they could kind of play different styles.
Yeah, it for sure is. They can, and so they can adapt to what a team is throwing at them. If they're going to double Cat in the post, okay, he's swinging and kicking it out, and then it's Edwards and Russell attacking. If they're going to load up on Edwards and make sure that he can't go off, well, then you have D'Lo, then you have Malik Beasley and Jaden McDaniels, then you have, you know, all these different kind of tools in the toolbox to use to counter what they're going to throw at you. And you could feel it, guys, in game one, because you know, Memphis is one of the great road cities in the league in terms of like home court advantages and things. And they were all jacked up early. But as Anthony Edwards kept making step backs, as Cat was doing his thing against Steven Adams, the crowd started to get this hush over it. And it wasn't like, oh, no, like, I'm disappointed in our guys. They're a little rusty. Come on, guys, get going. It was, oh, no. Like, we got a lot on our hands here. Like, this team from up north that most of us have never heard of and weren't paying much attention to, they can go. And so I do think that, you know, there's just a lot of that with this squad, with, you know, the high end talent that they have, with some of the depth that they have, and they're really well coached. So it's a tough matchup.
I know we're going to talk about the superstars, D.A. I know we're going to get to them, but let me tell you who we need to be paying attention to right now. McDaniel.
Preach.
Listen.
Preach.
Jade McDaniels, the way he defended, like, this is important because Vanderbilt is the guy you throw on the guy.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Vanderbilt can't shoot.
That's right.
So you sacrifice something when you put Vanderbilt on the guy. If Jaden McDaniels can be the guy on the guy, that's a game changer because he can shoot. Right? Yes. He's young. Like, he's an offensive weapon. To me, that's the part where it was like, uh-oh, you in trouble. Because now, if that guy gets going, now you can bring in Vanderbilt to kind of slow him down. I was like, uh-oh, don't sleep on Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah, and if you talk to Wolves people, they've said it all year long. Like, they are obviously through the moon, excited about Anthony Edwards and what he can bring and his future potential. But if you talk to people, they'll say to you, and they've said it all season long, yo, Jaden McDaniels is going to be a really good player in this league for a very long time. He is long. He's almost 6'10". He's got arms that go on for days. Yeah. He's already in a second year, lets the guy slip by him and then gets him from behind with the long arms. And so you can never get away from him defensively. And then, like you said, Marcus, the key is that he's a two-way guy now. He can knock down an open three like he did in the corner in the fourth quarter, but he can also get to the basket a little bit. He's got a little wiggle to his game. And so they think him going forward over the next 2 to 3 years as he fills out his body. But already he's a plus defensive guy who can guard perimeter or can be in the paint with you if you need him. And the way that he knocks down shots and he's efficient that way, they got a monster on their hands that way. And it's only going to get better.
DA, who drafted him?
You did have to bring that up, didn't you?
My bad. I'm sorry.
Oh, there's so many of those. Man, so they remind me so much of Toronto. It's crazy with the length and the shot making. Mm-hmm. It's just that they have Karl Anthony Towns and Toronto didn't have one of those. Mm-hmm. But everything else, and I wonder, I know that, you know, it's kind of an odd thing how the team was built because the guy that built it isn't there anymore. But how much of did they look at, because the assumption had always been, well, they're just going to be Houston and shoot a ton of threes. Mm-hmm. And they do shoot a lot of threes, but it's not prohibitive number of crazy threes.
Right.
When they looked at roster building, what were they thinking about? What was kind of the default?
Well, so when the predecessor, when Gerson Rosas came in, he had Karl Anthony Towns here. And so it was build around him and they wanted to get shooters around him and they needed someone who could go to the rim and blow it up because Towns is a great post player, but he likes to shoot threes. He has brought the drive much back into his game this year, but like they needed kind of a variety of attackers. And so when you add in Anthony Edwards and his ability to get to the rim and then Towns to be able to space the floor and open things up for him that way, there's just a really nice complementary piece. But I do think that they did come in really wanting to be Houston North, small, wanting to play really small around Towns and shoot a bunch of threes and do it that way. And they have evolved over the last year plus to, you know, trying to get a little bit bigger, trying to get a little more physical and really trying to get to the paint. And then you also have, so Edwards and Russell are more mid-range operators,
yeah,
as well.
Right.
And that is illegal in Houston. So, right. So they're a little more versatile that way in terms of just like, hey, these are the players we got. Let's play to their strengths and not force the square peg into the round hole. And it's worked. They do shoot a lot of threes. The Grizzlies are in a huge math problem because they don't shoot a lot of threes. So that's one thing in their advantage. But the way that the Wolves can also, if that three ball isn't falling, get to 18 feet and knock it down from there.
Yeah.
That's a big advantage for them right now.
Yeah. I really like, and it's weird because again, the Gerson isn't here and it's just odd, but everything that he kind of leaned into has kind of worked. I mean, Lord knows I didn't like the way they hired Chris Finch, but it sure looks like they hired the right guy,
right.
You know? So, mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that Dave Vanderpool wouldn't have done a good job. I think he would have, but Finch has been really, really good to me since in the last year plus. He's been terrific.
Excellent. He is one of the guys, and you know, we've been around the league enough. You see how coaches operate and how coaches move, but he walks this really fine line of he has the gravitas and the authority and the, I think, the respect of the players from a X's and O's standpoint so that he can hold them accountable when they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, because he has said, look, if you do what I'm asking you to do, you will succeed. And that has happened. So that's gained him a lot of credibility that way. Mm-hmm. But he also, at the same time, lets them be themselves. He's not ornery old guy watching these kids thump their chests and getting mad at it. No, he embraces that part of him. He lets Pat Bev be Pat Bev. He lets Towns be Towns. He lets Ant be Ant, like all of these things. And so they feel like he listens to them and hears them, But then when it's time, when they are not listening to him, he gets them back in line quickly. And he's got just a really good feel for the game and the coaching aspect of it. But he also understands in this day and age, a coach is a political appointment. Like, you have to mold, you know, foster relationships. You have to build bridges. You have to do all of these things. And he has done it, you know, in the locker room, in the organization, with ownership, with all of these, in this very chaotic time, he's been able to really stabilize things, and he's been exactly what they needed.
So let's go back a little bit, because the 2020 draft has turned out to be like one of them flashpoints in the Minnesota like franchise. And it wasn't that easy of a choice. I mean, two of those three guys are looking like generational talents. And if you ask the Warriors, they believe Wiseman will still be one. But so how close was Minnesota to possibly selecting somebody else, or did Ant just win them over? I remember people not knowing, you know, whether what was coming out was a smoke screen or was an actual thing. Like, how did that all play out? Because it looks like Anthony Edwards is exactly what they need.
Yeah, 100%. And there was a lot of debate. There was a lot of kind of going back and forth on all of the guys. I think they entered that draft process and really, you know, because you got to remember at the time, Anthony Edwards was being characterized as Wiggins light in terms of like, does he want it? Mm-hmm. Like, is this important to him?
Does he love basketball? Yeah.
Does he love basketball? Now, we have since found out that is completely the opposite. He loves it so much and he's big into it. But at the time, there were those concerns from people. So you had that. You had LaMelo, who was doing all this stuff overseas, but how would it translate, all that? And then you had Wiseman, who was the big man, who was really tantalizing that way.
Who had played one game.
Who had played one game. Yeah. He had played one game. And so, you know, there were kind of some people around here wondering, is he KG-like? Is it that or something? And so could you play him next to Towns and all this stuff? So they went through all of that. Once they got into the process, you know, kind of really immersed themselves, it really did kind of start to make the decision for them. In terms of Wiseman, kind of made it clear he didn't want to come to Minnesota and play behind Cat. And so they weren't really, entertaining that very much. Then in their kind of workouts and their interviews with LaMelo, he was much more distant.
See, that's what I heard.
How he
John,
went through
John,
things.
I heard he had a terrible interview with them.
Yeah, and it was like really short answers, like really not engaged. And so again, they're like, man, maybe this guy doesn't want this, you know. And so what they all thought, which I think is the right thing, is if you're going to come to Minnesota, this long suffering franchise, this cold weather, all of this kind of muck that's around it, you need someone who wants it, who is going to embrace that. KG always embraced it. Like he would never complain about any of the things that so many others do. And so Ant, in their workouts and in their interviews with him, it became clear that he was not afraid at all of coming to Minnesota, of being the guy here. He was not afraid of any past failures and like organizational dysfunction or whatever it was. He's just like, hey man, take me and you won't regret it. And he won them over with his charm, with his attitude, with his intelligence, with all of these things. And so it was probably, I don't know, maybe it was probably a couple of weeks before the draft that they really honed in on him as the main guy. Of course, I think they kept some smoke screens up going into the draft just to see what kind of trade things would come up and things like that. And they ended up not getting anything. And they took Ant, and I'm telling you, man, he has the Twin Cities in the palm of his hand right now. They love him to death. Certainly after the Clipper game in game one, he is ascending to a higher plane. He can own this city going forward. You know, if he kind of continues to sustain, you know, just everything, you know, the attitude, the play and all of that, they're incredibly happy that they took him. And LaMelo's done great in Charlotte, and that's an organization that needed a jump, and he's given him that. But but the Wolves would not trade Ant for LaMelo right now, straight up. That's just like, that's just where it is.
Yeah, he's been, and it's his lack of, I guess, historical, carrying that historical baggage. It could go the other way. And this is always about you're winning, so everybody forgives a lot of things. But I do think it's important that he's a guy that just is like, I had nothing to do with all that stuff. So
that's right.
I'm not going to carry any of it. I'm not going to own any of it because I had nothing to do with it. And it's just hard to pull that off, you know, like it really is, and be credible. But he seems to be able to do that.
He does. Everything about him is genuine. So whatever is in his head comes out his mouth. There's no filter. He does not care about it. And he does it in a way that is so endearing and so kind of inspiring, I think, to everyone around him. And, you know, I wrote a piece about him earlier this year where, you know, it was just kind of called The Audacity of Ant. So like, you have to have, he calls himself Black Jesus. Like he names his dog Ant Jr. There are these things that he does that if someone else did them, it'd be like, what is this guy all about? But Ant does it and you're like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, and no one gets mad at him. No one thinks he's overstepping his bounds or anything. He's just so likable and so magnetic, and you needed someone like that to change the tenor of this franchise. You need someone that is not going to take no for an answer, that is not going to let all of the garbage that has swirled around this forever weigh them down. It's happened to a lot of people.
Sure.
Kevin Love, yeah. Ricky Rubio, you know, a lot of these guys have come and gone through here. Jimmy Butler came in quick and said, this ain't for me. But like Ant is like, nah, none of this bothers me. I'm good. And I am so good that we will eventually turn this thing around.
When the trade was made, you know, to get D'Lo and Cat together, right, for Wiggins, you know, there was a period there where it was like, is this gonna work, right? But you throw Ant in the mix, and now it kind of changes things. What did that do for D'Lo? Having Edwards there as essentially the primary or number two guy and kind of pushing him into more of a number three / floor general type.
Yeah, it's sort of like it's on a different level, but it's like when Wiggins went to the Warriors, right? So here in Minnesota, they needed him to be franchise guy. Mm. They needed him to be go-to scorer. You know, give it everything you got, take over games. And that's just not Wiggins. So he goes to Golden State and he's down around number four in the pecking order, and he fits right there. Like, it works really well for him. Defensive minded, get some opportunistic hoops and stuff. And that just makes him more comfortable with D'Lo. I think, Marcus, like, now that you have Ant here, it takes a lot of the defensive pressure away from him. And so he is more of an orchestrator this year, and he has had his best passing year of his career. He's been really, really good just quarterbacking the offense. Just in game one, for instance, like D'Lo came out and he usually gets a good long rest in the second quarter. That's when Memphis made their move. They forced 11 turnovers in the quarter on Minnesota. D'Lo comes in, plays the third quarter, almost all of the third quarter. In the fourth, they only have four turnovers in the second half. And so he is able to get people in spots, and he's able to throw people open in the pick and roll very, very well. And I think that fits him. And then when everyone loads up on Ant, then he's going to get clean looks at threes. He's going to get to that elbow jumper, and he can drop 30 on you without a problem, but he doesn't go into every game thinking he needs to get that. And I think that helps him kind of just be more effective in general.
It's so important to everybody. I think moving down in the NBA is so important. Mm-hmm. And that's why superstars are important, because if you're in a role that you're not capable of achieving, it taints everything. But when you can move down, and frankly, I think that D'Lo is a number three on a good team. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that, right? Mm-hmm. But that's a good role for him. That works right for him. So, yeah. Why would you not want that if you're a team? Like, you want everybody to be in their right roles.
It's better to be overqualified for your role than underqualified.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I think it's where Anthony helps. I think Kat is not, and you know this better than I, John, but I don't think Kat is a guy that is all about, you know, being the vocal number one. Maybe he wants to be the number one on the floor, but in terms of the press conference and all the stuff that the superstars have to do, they have to take the hits when their team doesn't win. I don't know if Kat wants to do that. I think he's much rather have somebody else be in that role and I'll just hoop. And I think that's, again, respectfully, number two is a good role for Kat.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think what I'll say on that, DA, is like Kat, from a media standpoint, is the most available and accountable of the group. So he does come out every night and he takes the bullets when it's going bad and he takes the flowers when it's going well. Okay. And so I do respect that. But I think your point is correct in another way, in that he has lost here for so long that he understands he needs help to get to where he wants to go. If you look at his teammates for most of his career, other than the Jimmy Butler year, he's never had a teammate that made an all-star team the year before, other than Jimmy Butler. And so he has not been surrounded by enough talent. And so now that he is surrounded by more talent, he is very much interested in sharing that spotlight. He is not here for the it's Ant's team, it's Cat's team kind of stuff. Like, he's not going to get caught up in that because he has been through the other thing. So where, you know, I think where earlier in his career, when Jimmy came in and it was oil and water and there was a lot of butting heads, here with Edwards and to D'Lo, with D'Lo to an extent, he is much more willing and able to say, I don't care whose team this is. We need each other to win games. And as long as we start winning, that's what's going to help my image and my standing in this league more than anything else right now.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
DA, what are we going to do in the league where the Minnesota front office makes the right moves? What are we going to do with Minnesota? Sachin's
my guy. I like
Sachin
a lot. I hope they continue to make good moves, because Sachin seems like a really good guy.
Like, this is...
I know it's weird.
There's a generation that doesn't know this. You know what I'm saying?
It's a bizarre world, yeah.
I know.
Yeah. There are kids that are 18 years old that have had one playoff game at home, two playoff games at home. Like,
there's a whole generation that don't understand this.
I'm so glad you were on today, John, because I was angry this morning because I'm tired of this hot take world we're in, where you can't possibly have a nuanced opinion about anything. And so, and this is what I wanted to ask you about. When they won the play-in game, and they beat the Clippers and they got in, they celebrated crazily and jumped on tables and Pat Bev took his shirt off and they and I loved it. I thought it was great. I also thought it was funny as hell when Inside clowned him. I just thought that was funny, and I thought that's what they should be doing. They should make fun of them for overreacting to essentially not doing anything other than getting into the playoffs. You know, like it's not like they were in the playoffs and won a game. They just won a game that got them into the playoffs. You know,
yeah.
Why can't we enjoy? Why couldn't we have both? Why can't I have enjoy both of those teams? You know what I mean? Like, I thought it was great.
I think you can. Yeah, I think you can. And I will say, like, I saw the inside thing, and I thought that was much more playful. Like, yeah. That was, hey, we're just having fun with this. This is kind of silly. Never mind. Let me just really quick aside. It's funny how TNT builds this whole night of production around these games, and this is a big deal. And then, oh, no, this is not a big deal. You silly guys. Like, you're acting like this is a big deal. Meanwhile,
we're going to all that logic, man.
We're going to Kenny, Charles, and Shaq
right.
for the breaking down this big deal, and they're saying it's not a big deal. But I digress. The tone of that was very inside the NBA, very playful, poking fun a little bit. And, oh, by the way, I think Charles and Shaq both picked the Wolves to beat Memphis.
Yeah.
In that thing. So I think that I didn't have really any much of an issue with that at all. There were other outlets. There were other networks that were, it felt like a little more sneering, a little more like that. And that is where it was like, okay, what are we doing here? Like, sports are supposed to be fun. You can't act like you've been there before if you've never been there before.
Dude, that's the point. It's like, that's why it's great.
So when the Wizards played Boston in 2017 in the conference semifinals, and John Wall hits a three in an elimination, they're going to go home in 2 seconds if he doesn't make this three. He hits a three to win game six to force a game seven and jumps on the table and takes his shirt off and the crowd goes, and there were people who said, oh, exactly. Act like you've been there before. And I'm like, he's never been in a game seven before.
This is
game seven. He just got them to game seven.
It's insane. And I do think like that is where people, I don't blame them. They have not been paying attention to the Timberwolves. They don't know the history. They don't know that they've had one playoff series in 17 years. They don't know that they fired Gerson Rosas for salacious reasons right before. They didn't know that they went through the, you know, the whole Jimmy Butler thing and him and Tibbs basically burning the whole place down on their way out. This team has been overlooked and disrespected for years and years, and mostly rightfully so, because they've been so dysfunctional.
That's right.
And so to have this moment was big, and Pat Bev was kind of the driver of it because they were playing the Clippers.
Right.
And so,
right.
And so there was that kind of the thing. And so I just, people were not paying attention to the Wolves and their history, and I don't blame them for that. But the biggest issue I took, and JJ Redick said the same thing, was a lot of times what we hear these days are these players don't care. Right. Mm-hmm. So regular season, they don't care. They're in for the paycheck. It doesn't matter to them. Well, here was a case of these guys really, really caring about something. And we're going to call them out for that.
Yeah.
Like that's, you know, that's it. Like that, those were the, but yes, in general, the inside guys had a little fun, and that was it. There were some others though, that were much more, you know, wagging their finger, and I thought that was probably crossing.
Man, if the Kings ever get good, they could. They could have pagan sacrifices, and I'd be like, yeah,
absolutely.
Vivek is going to have a parade if they make the playoffs. Like,
just to play in, just get to the play-in, and I will say, and I will fly there for it.
Absolutely,
I will fly there for it and take it in
for them. I'll be happy for them.
And look, it was over the top, but that's the point, right?
Exactly.
I've been there, Run TMC are legends in the Bay Area, and they won one playoff series.
Right.
Like,
that's right.
This is what you do when winning is just not part of your culture right now.
The Wolves have won one playoff series in 30 years. One. Or they've been out of the first round one time in 30 in 30 some years. Like, that's what it is.
Absolutely. Like, that's part of it, right? Like, yes, it's funny. It's funny. It's like, okay, hey, look at Patrick Beverly is really crying. Like, that's
right.
It's wild to watch.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. But it's also like, heck yeah, do it all. Do it all. And here's what I like about the Timberwolves. Same thing with Memphis too. And this new generation of athletes, like, they don't care, bro. And you know what? They are going. they are willing to put themselves out there with the possibility of getting embarrassed in a generation where they know anything can become this social media meme, right? Like,
right.
The ridicule now is global, right? Right, it's not right, just right, like right. a little That's local. Right. So, and they're still willing to put themselves out there. Like, yo, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm going to talk this. I'm going to put myself out here. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to talk my trash. I'm going to be overly excited about small things. Like, you know, all this stuff.
I'm going to watch Westbrook airball a free throw.
Absolutely.
And then, a shot, and then look for it. Yeah,
And all it does, like, especially like if you're Minnesota or you're Memphis, right? Now, mm-hmm. Memphis can't lose this series after mm-hmm. all the trash they talk. But they knew that when they were talking the trash. Minnesota, Absolutely. You got to take the playoffs incredibly serious That's if right. you were that hyped to get there. Like, to mm-hmm. me, I respect the fact that they're like, yeah, man, this is who I am. And you can laugh. I don't care because I ain't worried about that. And they right. really aren't worried about it, which is its own, you know, beauty all itself.
They really are not worried about it at all. And I do feel like these are both franchises that know that to get people's attention, to let people know that they are here now, you got to grab them by the shirt collar and shake them and be like, hey, we are here now. Pay attention to us. I don't want to hear any more about the Lakers on ESPN. Like, pay attention to us. Yeah. Like, this is yeah. what it is. And so there is a chip on their shoulders. Like, we are in Memphis. We're in Minneapolis. People are flying right over us on the way to the coast. And we're not going to let you do that anymore. We are going to play loud. And we'll suffer the consequences later if we do it.
They got ground to air missiles.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. They are firing everything they got.
You know what I love, DA? Like, yeah. So the Warriors are like, you know, playing Denver and they're going off. And Ja, who yeah. will possibly have to face the Warriors in the playoffs, is on social like, yo, Steph and KD going off, right? Like, that, like,
right.
Man, they're all in.
Yeah,
yeah.
They are all in on all of it. No like question. To me, that's. I love it, man. They're like, yeah, we're gonna talk that talk, but when you're great, man, we're gonna say you're great too.
Dude,
like,
I can't wait for the next round. No matter who it is, if it's Minnesota, great. If it's Memphis, great. Playing the Warriors, I think we all agree it's gonna be the Warriors. That's gonna be ridiculously
one,
fun.
Right? The Wiggins. We either get Steph versus Ja or right. the Wiggins revenge.
Right. Oh my god,
it's gonna be
that's
great.
That's gonna be great. I can't wait.
Speaking of which, Ja, are you gonna be all right for game 3 and 4? Like I mean, dude, what do you wear? Do you wear a vest into the building? Like, hey, it's going to be nuts.
It's going to be buck wild in there. I'm telling you, like, the Clipper game was insane.
Yeah.
And just that they already got one, no matter what happens tonight in game 2, I'm telling you, like, this fan base has been waiting for a reason for 15 years.
Yeah.
And they have now jumped fully onto the bandwagon. And that place in game 3 is going to be coming apart at the seams. And so I will be soaking that up because as an ardent NBA follower forever and ever, I was always told that no one cares about it here. No one, you know, this is Minnesota. This is a hockey state. Nah. It's a basketball state as much as it is a hockey state. And people are going to see that, you know, in game 3, game 4. I mean, it is going to be absolutely bananas. And the coolest thing about that is that Anthony Edwards just, that's like lightning right down his spine. And he responds to that kind of environment in a different way, man. When they're playing, you know, Sacramento on a Tuesday night in January and it's quiet in there, you can see him kind of go through the motions. But when it's crackling, man, he brings it, and it's fun.
He already writing that fire column. Hey,
it's already up here, man. It is already up here.
I love it. No,
looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
I'm so happy for cities like Minneapolis and franchises like that that have suffered so long, because I believe me, if I've covered one here that is still in the throes of that, and when they get good again, if they ever get good again, you know, it's going to be crazy here. Oh, mm-hmm. I hate to ask this because I never like asking about people when I don't know if they're still with us or not or what this is. The guy that used to sit on the other side with the suit and the program.
I thought about him last week. I thought the exact same thing.
Is he still around?
His name is Bill Bisey. He's not a fixture at the games anymore, and he's certainly not suited up and waving the program. I wrote about this at the Athletic a couple of years ago, and so I can tell this story publicly. But he, when the stock market crashed in 2008, he went on some hard times.
Okay, gotcha.
He has since sort of rebuilt himself again, but he also got a little sideways with the organization when they traded KG. KG was his guy.
Yeah, sure.
He was a loyalist there, and then they plunged into irrelevance, and so he kind of checked out. But he was at the game against the Clippers. He will be in the building game 3 and 4. So it's going to be a cool thing. They're trying to get a couple of other, you know, famous former people who have sat courtside, and we've seen trying to get them to show up as well. They're going to try and, you know, kind of harken back to the glory days as much as there were here and get some of those people back, but he'll be in the building again.
And will any of this thaw out the relationship with KG, you think? Any of this?
Well, I don't think that the winning has ever been a thing. It's been a Glenn Taylor thing. I do know that Alex Rodriguez and Mark Laurie, the new guys, are really trying to build that bridge back up. And maybe there's been a little bit of progress, but I still just think that there are so many hurt feelings and whatever that Glenn is going to have to fully sell and move on out before I think KG entertains anything else than that.
Yeah.
Do not let KG walk in that building for a playoff game. KG walk into that building for a playoff game.
I would stand up and walk right out and just be like, there is no topic. Right. This I ain't even watching the game. Right. I'm just going to watch this little thing and then I'm leaving.
Dude,
like,
it would be fantastic. Come on. That would be so great if that could happen.
Yes.
You know, because like you said, he repped it, man. He did not, he didn't have a foot out the door. He sat there for 13 years and said, nah, I'm here. This is my team. This is my franchise. And I just want I want that circle to be closed. Just like I want, I was glad to see him and Ray Allen kind of sort of make up, you know, like I want to see that with him and the Wolves, because he should be there. He should be there. Do they have a thing where they're pregame, like they ring a bell or something crazy like other teams do? Like,
Yeah, they don't have that, or they don't have like the shooting the free throw with Houston and stuff like that. But if KG was coming back, they'd figure something out that way. Exactly. Like, yeah, they would manufacture something for him to do.
Oh my god!
At, like and just make you know, it a surprise. Probably, like, wave the chalk, throw the chalk up in the air.
Yeah, that would be great.
Throw the chalk up in the air and then walk off. Like that would be be insane for sure.
That would be great. Yeah. John, man, thank you, man. This has been fantastic. I love talking about different stuff.
About good teams, huh? About good teams, huh?
And good teams, yes, but just entertaining teams. And I'm happy for the people in Minnesota because they have, oh man, I went back because I was looking up something else and I got down this rabbit hole of Vikings playoff losses. And I was oh my God, they've lost.
No.
The games, the way they've lost playoff games, just
don't even do it to the folks here now. They're excited. These Timberwolves fans are happy right now. It's bad. Like it's torture. Like these fans have all been through so much, right? and the Vikings have done a lot to it.
So I'm happy for Minnesota, man. good luck to you. Enjoy the barbecue down there. And check out the John Krasinski podcast. The theme music is fantastic, by the way. What is that?
We do again, little Jayhawks, little stuff.
Yeah. That's very
having
good.
Fun.
Very good.
Appreciate it. Yeah, well, thanks, guys.
Be safe, man. That Minnesota crowd gonna be crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
don't come in there with your little church shoes. Go on something with some soles. You can get them out of there if you need to.
Hey, I've been here 17 years. I'm in the fabric, man. They ain't messing.
You good? They
ain't messing
with
me.
They just go around them. Huh? They just go around. JK.
That's right. I've been here too long, I'm good to go. But I appreciate it, fellas. You know I love you both. Exactly. So thanks for having
me. Enjoy the run, man. Have fun with it, and you're the best, man. Appreciate it. All right, thank you for listening to this fine American podcast. Y'all need to leave that 5-star review on Google, on Spotify, on Apple, iTunes, wherever you're listening to it. Marcus, if it's less than 5 stars, what do them folks need to do?
Keep it to yourself, you haters.
You know, Mark's had the nerve to say that it's a game day for him, and I'm like, you're a columnist.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.